is the joint meeting of the ICANN board and the NRO ASO in the auditorium room from 4:45 p.m. to 5:45 p.m. on October 20th.
Okay, let's get started. I think we're a couple of minutes past our starting time. Oh, here comes Steve. Excellent.
Warming up for you. You were in dire fear. How you doing?
Not too bad.
All right.
Come in here.
Somewhere.
Get to his
in the middle.
Surround me.
Yes, exactly.
Or something.
I sit on the crack.
Me to say we're in session.
Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody. We've been meeting with constituents all during the day. We're still awake and eager here, so it's a good sign. I've been making a habit of introducing our new board members. Can I see? How many do we have still here? Any? Luis? Lido? Ron somewhere? Oh, there's Ron. I'm not. Anyway, I get to know them. They've already inserted themselves and been very active, and real pleasure to have them. Any introductions you want to make?
Well, I'll introduce myself. My name is Axel Pavlik. I'm the Managing Director of the IPNCC and the CLE Chair of the Number Resource Organization.
Hi, I'm Louis Lee. I am the Chair of the Address Council within the ASO.
Guo Wei Wu, actually he's appointed by ASO.
Ray Polzak, future ex-board member.
I have a lunch scheduled every time with former directors, and I introduce the new board members as future former directors. You have an agenda for us, yes?
We have a very short agenda in terms of number of items. Things on the screen. Nomination period for the board, travel support for CCWG member, of course, INSU transition progress, and general ICANN accountability discussions. Before we start into this, I would like to convey our thanks that our request for a slightly bigger meeting room has been granted.
The larger room was not available, I'm afraid, so we had to make do with this. Let's take them in whatever order you want.
Right. Who wants to speak towards the nomination period for the board? Is that Louis?
Yeah. Go. Well, thank you. So we have opened the nomination phase of our board selection. It goes until mid-December. We plan to be able to announce around late May, mid to late May, about what our selection is. Now, is there a certain type of person you would like us to look for?
Ray.
Thank you for asking. Well, with some seriousness, the answer is along the following lines. Being on the board is serious work. We need, ideally, people who have a substantial amount of experience with organizations, with its governance, with there's a business side of ICANN. We're more than $100 million a year, 300-odd people scattered around the world, some political involvements around the world. So it's helpful to have people actually have operated at that level if possible. It's complicated because inherent in having people come from the SOs and ALAC, people are coming from the community, and so that's not the same pool of people that one typically looks for in a court board. It goes without saying that you guys, anybody you send, will have a lot of technical expertise, which is extremely welcome. Having the time to put in is one of the challenges. We consume a lot more time than anybody would ever guess. We have a pretty good group of people that work together. It's been cohesive. There's, you know, like a lot of differences among individuals, but it's a team effort. We very much like geographic diversity, gender diversity or balance, linguistic diversity. and all of those nice things. But first and foremost is good mind, good heart, skill sets that don't come so easily. I mean, you can't just walk in and say, "Oh, I'm going to figure this out." Scratch. So helpful to have been there. I don't know. You guys, you want to say anything about your experiences and what you would? I mean, you have a free shot. You're leaving, so you can.
Well, I don't ever need a free shot, Steve. You know that. I guess the big thing is to have someone appointed by the address supporting organization that knows that IP does not mean intellectual property, and actually can take the time to help explain why the regional registries do the things they do, and to, in some extent, be capable of acting as an advocate for ICANN and the board to understand what really goes on inside the numbering world.
One of the things we learned in the name side of things is that when you take a name out of service, like CS for Czechoslovakia, and then you think that 5 years later it's okay to reassign it to something else, turns out there's still a lot of traffic going. Ray, I have to tell you that I suspect it'll be at least 5 years before your exhortations that we should pay attention to the address community will stop ringing in our ears. So he's been a very strong advocate for the address community and reminding us always that there's two ends in ICANN, and one of them we should know belongs to the numbers community. Want to add anything?
Yeah, I think Ray pointed a couple of points. I think I'm going to say I have 2 points to add. I think it's if you are looking for the next appoint the board member, I would recommend, you know, the new board member should be trying to dialogue or communicate with the CEO, because sometimes the ICANN CEO not necessary to understand the IR or the number community how to operate, and sometimes they even don't know actually the number community. We never generate policy here. You know, we have to generate policy in our communities, and we come here to, you know, just violate. So I think that is the one thing you have to think about. Choose a person is a good communication skill to tell, you know, the ICANN CEO, ICANN staff, and some of the ICANN board how this community operated. Of course, we have wrong already. And I think the second point I'm thinking about that is maybe it's also it's important not only talk to the ICANN staff institution at the same time to make a communication with other community here, you know, because might be, you, I think you know that several of the community in the ICANN, maybe the GNS or some at large, without a communication with them, they don't really understand what is a number community in operations. So I think try to bring someone have a good communication skill with the outside community and the institution.
Thank you. And let me add that I've been thinking about sort of the next phase of operations within the board, and we have now a strengthened board operations department. Melissa happened to be here. There she is. Melissa King, now vice president of board operations and head of the team that supports the board, and we're in a much improved state. And among the several things that are on my agenda is a cross-fertilization across the board and educating the non-technical people on the board about the technical sides of the internet, including specifically the numbers community, and perhaps visiting one or more RIRs and engaging over time. So I'd like to increase our presence, and we'll be contacting you from time to time saying, you know, would you mind if somebody dropped by? So an incoming board member will have those duties too. Thanks.
Thank you. George Sadowski. I want to take off on something Steve said about Ray exhorting us to become more familiar with the numbers community and that there are two ends in ICANN. It's so easy to concentrate on names because we are in effect dealing with names most of the time. And one of the things that I think you could help us to do, either through your new board member or directly, really, more generally, is to tell us how we can most effectively interact with you and learn from what you're doing. Your suggestions will be very welcome. I'd really like them myself personally, and I suspect the other board members would agree. Thank you.
Certainly. Let me quickly come back to the interaction part. I think we've said many times that, and of course we continue to invite all parts of the ICANN community to the RIRs meetings that happen regularly around LOEB. We'd be happy to introduce you to the rest of the numbers community, certainly, and would love to see you there.
Thank you. Rinalia Abdurrahim, I have a question. ICANN is moving towards a new meeting strategy. There is a particular meeting called Meeting B, which is shorter and policy-focused. It wasn't clear to me whether or not there would be a component in Meeting B where the ICANN community gets a sense of numbers policy, whether you would be willing to do a briefing, because I know your policy development happens elsewhere. Is this something that you might consider?
So I'm actually pushing for a slot where it's uncontested plenary style to where I can do such a briefing of number policy. We've been doing that within the workshops, and it's met with limited success only because it is during conflicted times when people choose between names type topics or transition type topics versus numbers. And so I do have a set of slides that actually show the policies that are being discussed, the policies that are recently enacted, and break it down with the types of policies that these are, how many within across the world. As much as these are regional policies, everybody lives within a region. So these policies do affect each and every one of you in some way, whether directly or even if you need an IP for your name server, for instance.
One second. So is a semi-serious question. You said it would be nice to have a plenary slot. Plenary slots are, of course, very dear, and time is extreme. And so I'm thinking, how do we get that to be high-value, compressed, tight thing? TED Talks come to mind. It takes a long time to prepare a good TED Talk and practice. You're willing to go through the onerous preparation and practice for a TED Talk style? And, I say that slightly tongue-in-cheek, but actually I could imagine that if we could get things prepped that way so that it worked, it would be enormously effective. And I'm just making that up on the spot here. I'm sure there'll be some other opinions, but you'd have my vote if we wanted to move in that direction.
Yeah, what Louis is getting at is the fact that whenever the address council is scheduled to do the kinds of things he's talking about, it's always put up against some big other session that's going on. And it's not that they don't also try to go to as many of these other constituency sessions and things so forth they can to interact. But one of the things that happened towards the end of the Friday sessions before they were canceled was that Louis was able to produce a discussion of the policies that were being discussed at a regional level, and was able to show or discuss and point out how or they would affect the people in the room that normally you wouldn't consider to be a customer of a regional internet registry. And on top of that, there's been a number of discussions going on in the names world about directory services and who is and privacy and so forth. A lot of these problems were discussed 10 years ago in the regional registries and addressed. And so what's really needed is a way to get the greater group of attendees at a meeting
to be able to hear that. Not, and it doesn't have to be a long period of time, but it should be a period of time when the people aren't being scheduled to really be someplace else, and that this is just a convenient place to do it because there's a room that's open because everybody else is in a different room.
Okay. I think our team is taking notes, and so some of this is noted. We got a queue. Do you want to...
Dmitry Kochmanyuk, Address Council. As somebody who was MSWG delegate from ASO, I must add that it was never the intention to prioritize down the presentation work or what they call cross-contingency work. So even if the new schedule is still in the process of being made, I don't think there'll be any problem for ASO as if any other ASO to present its current issues to others. And as Steve commented, I do think videos are great, and yes, indeed, maybe we should have these practiced. And that, again, is not just for this ASO, but for others. And the last one, just to add on your comment, yes, you made a good point, and I think it's basically a good idea. Yeah, I don't think there's any issue of us being kind of phased out of the meeting. Plus, don't forget the meeting, too, is the ASO own meeting. And I can structure, so.
Something to think about.
Second requirement that we have.
This is Shireen Chalabi, member of the board. I just wanted to follow on of what George said earlier and support his request for a meaningful engagement, I think, between the board and the NRO, ASO, but also management. So I think we need to find ideas and way where we continue an ongoing dialogue and an ongoing engagement. I personally will not be just find it not sufficient just to attend meetings and just come here. We have to have something that keeps us linked and have a conversation, an open conversation between us. So I welcome any ideas that could help that. It would be great. Thank you.
Hans-Peter Holen, chair of RIPE, the Open Policy Forum that says policies for the RIPE NCC. I want to pick up a bit on how to interact. And I think maybe we should turn this around. As Axel said, you're all more than welcome to the RIR meetings. RIRs don't only do the policy meetings. They also do what you are starting to call B meetings, the regional meetings, where they go out to last week. It was in Ukraine. We've been to Kazan in Russia. We've been to the Middle East. I think in addition to the two RIPE meetings, we're doing 6, 7, 8 meetings a year where we get 100, 200 participants. So, and the ICANN staff is coming to some and many of these, and that's very good. But maybe some of the board members should actually come to these meetings as well. There you can actually meet the community who will never come to an ICANN meeting because they're not even able to come to a RIPE meeting because it's too far for them. So that would give you an opportunity to meet the local communities and understand what their problems are. And some of the content are really good and really local. It's not only us bringing content to them, but people who present their interest to each other.
David Olive, Vice President of Policy Development Support. I just wanted to emphasize what Rinalia said about the meetings team B program, less conflicting schedules, more time to have a discussion. So I'm happy to either help you or co-chair a session that might be policymaking on the numbers side, policymaking on the name side, best practices, how we best work together. There will also be ICANN fellows there, new people from the region, so that could be a good way of doing it. I would propose that.
David, thank you very much. But I'd like to remind one thing. Actually, original day, APNIC Jakarta meeting, just on August. Original APNIC expect we have a name community, people come to this APNIC meeting. The CCTOD already there, but the G, registry and registrar. But eventually we heard they want to run this regional name community in Los Angeles first. I wish it can be happen to all the region as soon as possible, because the region we expect happened in Jakarta, but not really did.
Based on the comments we just heard, and based on the great experience I had visiting with Oscar and his community, and the excellent work that QEC has been doing with APNIC including common meetings, etc. Why don't we just at least start towards, also based on what Louis said, an exchange of plenary whereby the ASO should have plenary spot with us. We should have plenary spots in their 6 meetings per year since we're there anyway. And it becomes a chance to make sure that all the communities are cross-informed about what's going on, and we're not going to go necessarily and, bring people up to date on naming policies. I mean, they don't care much about that, but in general about ICANN, what we're doing and the role we play as the coordinator, and vice versa, our community should be exposed. Would that idea have some... I see lots of heads nodding, but maybe some input would be good. And then we can move towards implementing and try. Maybe we try it for a year, come back and revisit it if it...
Fadi, that used to be part of the things that happened at all regional registry meetings. however, once the ASO MOU was signed in 2004, it then started to drop off. So now the only consistent people that come are some of David's people and the IANA people. But people from the global leaders coming up in, these guys will not hesitate to give you a slot or put you on a panel. And so it's welcome to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying if we institutionalize it, then it becomes part of the process and our teams will always be ready. Our meetings team will just know that the ASO has a slot and they will lead the community, right? And I think that would be a very welcome change for us. We are named out at the moment. We just have so much naming community work going on that we will lovely, be very much welcoming the second end in our name to take more space. So.
Thank you, Fadi. That's better.
Yeah, I just want to add that ICANN has indeed had a slot on every RIPE meetings since its formation. There is RIPE meeting in Bucharest coming up soon. All the program was published a couple of days ago. There is still lightning talks, 10-minute talks left, and there is a slot reserved for ICANN IANA together with the RIR presentation. So you're more than welcome to come there and fill it with whatever you think it's important to communicate or community.
Thank you, Hans Petter. I think in the interest of time, maybe we move on to the next.
And they're saying to me that that's the way in all the RIRs.
Right, thank you. All right, let's move on in the agenda. Next one we have down is travel support for CCWG member. I think that is an interesting topic on the background of ICANN as an international organization serving all over the world. And I have Oscar's request to speak.
You accept. 4 months ago, I had this conversation with the staff. I have this conversation with some of the staff and board members about this issue. We were unable to send our representative to one of the CCWG meetings. And the solution hasn't been come up. I know that you're working on that. It has to do with some of the rules that ICANN has to comply with because of some limitations on the embargoes and these kind of things. But rather than what, I'm interested in knowing when are we going to have this solution implemented to have a proper participation of all the representatives from the numbers community in these committees.
Yeah, Amy, do you want to comment?
Sure. So, as you said, we are working on it. We did submit a request for a license in order to allow the member to participate. The license requests cannot be just generic in sense of just to travel anywhere in the world for a year. So as soon as we understand what the specific locations are, we submit. We have one pending right now. The latest meeting that we were aware of was here. So we are prepared to amend as soon as we know where the next place would be. And we have been in communication with the folks, so they're aware that we've submitted an expedited request. And as soon as we know where the next few locations are, because previously we submitted for Ireland, for the United States, for France, etc., and we did submit for expedited treatment. Unfortunately, it's been a very short lead-up time for this particular instance. But we will continue to work as hard as we can, and we will continue to try to understand as soon as we can when we might be able to get something. But we can't. There's no guarantee as to exactly when, but we're working very, very hard and on a regular basis trying to ensure that we get expedited response.
I don't know, but all I'm asking is to ask your staff to be more creative in these solutions and willing to have this solution implemented, because it is not a single person problem. It is not a single country problem. It is the whole numbers community that hasn't been able to participate properly in these committees. So just to have a willing to have a creative solution, we're willing to help you to have this properly solved. We already solved to have this participation during this meeting, because there was no solution, but we're not going to be waiting forever. I mean, this has been 4 months, and I don't know if you are trying to follow the formal procedures, but please be more creative. We're being disadvantaged.
Unfortunately, Oscar, creative and the U.S. Department of Treasury don't go in the same sentence. This is not something in our hands. We're expediting proposals through the U.S. government. There are laws that we cannot change, and there are procedures, fortunately, ugly procedures, but they're procedures nonetheless. So we will, as Amy said, we'll do everything we can to expedite. And this, by the way, affecting only one country and probably one person, nonetheless very important, a member of our community. So we will push harder, and I will check with the team if there are ways through Washington to push harder. But
it is a procedure.
You're already. Okay. So it's awful, but okay, it is what it is. And I hope that the new situation will remove that whole issue soon. So.
I understand, but we have to be very careful. Our politicians, ours, yours, are so creative in inventing new enemies. So today is this country. Tomorrow it's going to be another country.
Understood.
So we have to think, game creative, and have a formal solution for anything that may happen in this regard.
Correct.
So, and we have to be very careful of what is the solution that we implement with this issue, because we're giving arguments to those countries that think that this is not the right place to have this organization.
Yeah, but be fair, Oscar. ICANN will not change the global policies of the United States.
Sure.
I mean, so put yourself in our shoes. There are laws that we're trying to deal with, rules that are very tough. And, I mean, what I don't want you to leave with is any feeling or sense that ICANN is not doing everything we can. Creative with rules around very tough laws in the U.S. government about paying for travel of individuals from certain countries is just, it's not something I can be creative about, because I can't break the law. I am sub-law. So, but I assure you we are doing everything we can, and I'll double down. I will look into it after this meeting, talk again to my team. I know they're doing everything they can, and it breaks, you know, I'm sorry that this is happening. Don't get the sense that we're taking this lightly, but there's just so much we can do around laws and rules that are very tight. My apologies.
Thank you, Farid. I hear what you're saying. Marty?
Hi, I'm Martin Hannigan from Akamai Technologies. The last time Fadi said he would solve the problem, he did. I was very impressed at the Argentina meeting with one of the visitors who was cleared. I believe she was from Iran or something. I wanted to point out that perhaps there's some confusion, because I know inbound to Cuba, the new general license is much different than the old OFAC required license, and is much simpler. In fact, I plan to be in Cuba myself in a few months, and I did not need to apply for any license whatsoever. There's some rigid guidelines that you have to comply with, and they're not voluntary, but they're self-audited and whatnot. I am not a lawyer, but I think that putting some extra effort into this would be very useful. Thank you.
Thank you, Marty. Fiona?
Fiona Songa, for the record. I think what ICANN needs to do to help, because I come from a part of the world where we easily went against some U.S. Treaty or something, would be sanctioned, and I see myself easily being in that position. But because meeting venues get approved way in advance, we shouldn't be waiting until it's close to travel time to begin applying. Let's be real. the applications, as soon as the meeting venues are approved by the meeting team, immediately the next staff who needs to be following up on the license should begin to do so. And as we continue to open up ICANN to the global community, we're soon going to have guys from Kenya, Somali, Somali, Puntland, Somali, who will be appointed to these positions and need to participate in ICANN. So that means that someone's role somewhere needs to be tweaked a bit to pay more attention so that there's more, it's just more efficiency to achieve, because yes, the rules are there and they are rigid. But again, if we plan well and we are efficient and we synchronize our cross-departmental communication, it's easy to be able to get it done on time, because I know if anything happened, Kenya, USA, I'll be in that category. And I love to participate and to engage. So I don't know how that will, you know, so we need to be ready. It's about planning and being ready. Thanks.
Yeah, and certainly, Fiona, we are applying ahead of time all the time for our meetings. The problem here is CCWG having snap decisions on where they will meet. But in terms of our meetings, we apply ahead of time. We're always, frankly, preparing for that. So I want you to know this. And again, on the gentleman's comment, the problem is not the inbound, it's travel support. It's the fact we're paying money to an individual from that. There are special rules around paying for their trip. That's the issue, to be frank.
Yes, that, we understand that. And my personal thought is maybe there's some more leeway but instead of focusing on the official ways, licenses and the likes, just talk to the community a bit more when you see there is a problem forming like that. Just, we are a big community, we can solve problems all together. I think that's the main point. George, sorry.
Quick comment. Whenever you deal with a lot of countries, there are visa problems, and I could conceive of a matrix, which is country and visa and what's possible and what's not. I think the meetings team is taking this into account for some extent, and I suspect that what we should do is up the importance of the ability of people from many countries to get into other countries in our choice of meeting locations whenever possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much, George. Okay, time is moving on. Let's move on to the next tiny point on the agenda. It's only about IANA stewardship transition and progress there. If you remember this meeting that we had in Buenos Aires, I was at that point saying that the numbers community was moving forward on an SLA, a contract for IANA services, that we would be with interest looking at the big picture of IANA stewardship transition, but that we would be very much willing to find a quick solution to the situation with the IANA services, that we would have a contract soon, and that we would be looking forward to ICANN being able to sign that, hopefully, already ahead of the transition process itself. Basically, our provision would be to have a contract that lies dormant until the NTAA would let us all go. So we have made some progress since. We have published a couple of SLA drafts for public comment. We've taken those comments in. We've replied to them. We've amended the text. And over the last couple of months, we sat together also with ICANN Operational Fork and looked at sort of the issues that were born in maybe slight misunderstandings of each other's intents. But I'm happy to say that after today, we have basically achieved operational agreement. Of course, there were a couple of comments tossed around the room that, the lawyers would have to look at this and that. So this would be the next step in this. We would hope very much that we would get some time from the ICANN legal team during this week, ideally, to make progress on this and ideally finish this and have something that we would all feel at least happy to sign, even if we are not signing it already. But that would be preferable, of course. So that's my quick update. I don't know whether anybody else would like to talk to this or any responses maybe. Ray.
Thanks, Axel. This situation with the SLA reminds me, and if you recall, Shanghai,
in 2002 when we were negotiating between the then three, possibly four regional registries with ICANN in regards to ASO MOU and contract and so forth. And the operational guys came to a very good understanding and conclusion and so forth and happily drafted something together, gave it to ICANN Legal, and it came back with all kinds of red ink, and we were told it was non-operative. I certainly hope that that doesn't happen this time. Thank you.
Yes, me too.
Bill.
Bill Woodcock, member of the CRISP team. I would just like to say that, you know, our work was finished on the 15th of January. We have been very happy to see a spirit of cooperation here, but I would really like to see that spirit of cooperation turn into actual signatures by the end of the week. I think, you know, the fact that we've come to agreement on the substance means that the last little bit of lawyering, I think, if we could get that taken care of here this week while everyone is still here and we can apply signatures in real time and get out of this, would make all of us who put in many very long nights over November, December, and January happy. Thank you.
Yes. Izumi.
I basically want to thank the RIRs and also ICANN for working on the SLA and start working on the implementation. And, well, I have seen the statement from our ICANN board that you observe no issues about the proposal. And as we have expressed, we trust both the RIRs and ICANN to continue work on the implementation to be consistent with the number community proposal. And it seems that the progress is smooth, so as Bill have expressed, we will be able to progress on implementation smoothly, far beyond the expected timelines to complete the implementation. So thank you once again for these efforts.
Thank you, Izumi. I just want to add that while all the other discussions at this set of ICANN meetings are utterly fascinating, we have made very clear this our priority, the RIR's priority at this set of meetings is to make progress on this contract and preferably get it to signature ready at the end. Do we have any supportive comments maybe from the ICANN folks?
The contract should have been signed a long time ago.
Any more? Anybody else? Fadi?
Well, just to keep expectations fair, we have wanted, you know, when you and I met in Buenos Aires, we wanted to sign it like right there and then and have a nice sangria after it. But we'll try again with Guinness. But my sense is it will take a raki because there are some just limitations on us, that's all, on when we can physically sign this. I think we're just us. We would just sign it right now because as the gentleman who spoke is right. Great work has been done. Super progress on this. There's no question from our side. This is ready to go. So right now, all we're dealing with is the three implementation phases that I presented on Monday. What can we do between now and when the proposal is sent? What can we do from the moment the proposal is submitted till it is okayed by Larry, which depending on the .com act may be certification or just an okay. And then what can we do after that and all the way till September 30th? So these are the three phases of implementation. We had a meeting with NTIA in Washington to discuss both the contractual and political limitations on us to do certain things. And we can continue those discussions, Axel, while we're here. From my perspective, the faster the better. But we are living within a context not entirely in our hands.
Right? Yeah, I understand there are sensitivities around appearances and stuff like that as well. So while I would like to present to my community in Bucharest in a couple of weeks' time that we have signed it, I think it might be difficult to do that. However, I would, as a second best result, I would really like to ensure that ICANN, including the legal team and ourselves, have a contract that we agreed on could be signable any time the greater forces let us.
Ray, and sorry, just to add to this, we also discussed with them the idea of signing things with you that could have a conditional. So that's also been floated. Legal counsel on their side is reviewing that. So we're trying everything we can to move this forward. But anyway, I think you understand the envelope, Axel, we've been discussing.
Thank you. Ray?
I have a different thing on inside this topic area. So if this is
all right,
the same, go ahead.
Then Craig.
Thank you, Axel. Craig Ng, General Counsel for APNIC. I just wanted to reinforce that point that in version 2 of the SLA, we inserted a specific clause, which is a conditioned precedent, that made the SLA of no force and effect at all until ICANN is released from the current obligation with NTIA. So I just want to make that point.
And Craig, this addresses the first of the two trips. This addresses the legal trip line, right, that we put a conditional. It may or may not address the political concern that the appearance of us moving forward as if it's a fait accompli when there are people who are that we're still navigating with to get this done. So we need to calculate that, our keenness to get this done. I think what you do know is that ICANN is ready. We think what you gave us is a fantastic proposal. We now need to just get it done in a way that is safe for all of us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you. And we do appreciate the effort that ICANN is putting in as well. Ray.
Thanks, Axel. I was wondering if the NRO or any individual regional registry would like to share its thoughts about the PTI.
The PTI, yes. Well, I've said earlier, I believe that we are looking forward to sign this agreement right now with ICANN as the IANA operator, and we would look forward to that being transferred in some way or signed to the PTI if and when it happens. But at this point, of course, we don't know exactly how that will look like. Any other comments towards PTI? Bill.
I would, of course, defer to Izumi relative to the CRISP team and to John relative to Aaron, but summarize my understanding of the conversation. We couldn't care less about the PTI. It seems a little heavyweight. Our CRISP is in contracting with ICANN. If ICANN is forced into doing a PTI thing and then chooses to use the PTI to execute, as long as we don't have to know very much about it, it would be okay.
Thank you, Bill. Adina.
Yes. So, as you know, when CRISP team completed its proposal, that was before the whole idea of PTI came up. So, the idea was that we are happy with ICANN, so we will continue having a contractual relationship with ICANN. When this PTI idea came up, we tried really in the. But for the record, I'm Athena Fragulia. I'm the legal counsel of RIPE NCC, parenthesis. So, and I was working on the draft SLA with my colleagues from the other RIRs. So when we started drafting the SLA, we thought about this. We said, okay, what we have now is ICANN. This is the reality we know. This is in line with the CRISP proposal. However, we know the discussions about PTI. We now know that this might be the successor IANA operator. So we added in our SLA the possibility for ICANN to subcontract someone else for the service and reassign rights and obligations from the SLA. So this is sorted out this way. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Go away.
Yeah, I think I might be thinking about Ray actually asking two different questions. One question is, if the PTI going to happen, you know, how the IR have flexibility to do what you say. Actually, another question is, what is the comment from the IR regarding for the PTI? Is that generally a risk for IR, you know, the relationship with ICANN? You know, there's different issues.
Legally speaking, we have a contract with ICANN. So for us, ICANN will be liable if they subcontract someone else. This ICANN will be our contractual party.
I believe there's also a clause in there that the numbering side would have to agree to the assignment to the PTI, right? To a different party.
Yes, of course. Yeah, every assignment should be indeed in agreement with us. Yeah.
Right.
What if the PTI does something to affect IANA operations that are in contravention with the SLA?
As I said, according to the contract we have with ICANN, ICANN is responsible before us. So we're not going to ask for damages for someone else. We are not do not have a contractual relationship. However, ICANN might do so. It's not our issue.
So the contract draft basically has a couple of requirements for IANA operations. And whoever is going to be on the other end of that contract, whether it's ICANN slash IANA as it is in the current configuration, or in some other configuration, maybe including a PTI there, I think those clauses are held up and are relevant. And if the conditions, requirements are not met, then we will have to go and look for a different provider in the end. We hope not to have to do that, of course. Okay. Nurani, are you approaching the microphone? Because I would like to...
Very discreetly. No, I just... Nurani Nipuno, Vice Chair of the CRISP team. It might be obvious and to everyone on this side of the room and maybe at the front of the room, but it needs to... I think everyone outside of this room needs to know that these draft SLAs are public. They're available on their NARO website. And they've gone through public comment periods. So if people want to know, there's nothing here being redrafted behind closed doors. So if people are interested in looking at it, it's all available. Thanks.
Thank you, Nurani. And, of course, we'll update it as we can. All right. John, go ahead.
So, John Curran, President and CEO Aaron, I want to be equally clear because Nurani raised a very important point. So we've had meetings with the IANA team to work on the operational aspects that are called for. The SLA has principles that the CRISP team laid out, and we're honoring those principles, but at the same time, we have to make sure that what's called for in terms of reporting and how requests go back and forth actually works for the RIRs. Likewise, we know the IANA legal team still has a chance to, the ICANN legal team still needs a chance to look over all of this and provide comments. So there is actually a working draft that, as we've been meeting today, in fact, that is slightly different than what's publicly out there. We need to converge, give the ICANN legal team a chance to review. There may be comments, obviously. The public drafts don't include what ICANN's legal team hasn't yet written. So, but as soon as we converge on something, we will get it back out to the community. But I do want to be very clear. The working draft we started this week with is not necessarily what's currently underway, but we'll get out to the community as soon as possible once we have all the ink dry on it. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Right, we have about 5 minutes left for ICANN accountability in general. I think that's a fairly easy topic. I have the impression that Phyllis wants to jump at the mic.
Thank you. Phyllis Yilmaz, formerly from Akamai, but here with my address support organization, Address Council Vice Chair. I'm a bit, I'm the one to blame for that one, maybe to be up, but it, I think, links to what has been said here in regards to the previous agenda point. This issue, the conversations around the CCWG and accountability issue has a direct link to the IANA transition timelines, where our community is, regional communities are very sensitive to. They put a lot of work to that, and they would like to see the results. Now, it's been, I've been following through our representatives and also myself here since I've been at the meeting, the general discussions around this topic. And what strikes me is the usage of the word consensus. And it seems to me that
In that context, there seems to be an understanding that everybody needs to be agreeing on every little detail, and that agreement needs to be absolute. That took me to some thinking. And consensus, in our understanding, is a concept, it's a long-standing concept in the regional internet communities, and we have been using it a lot in application level, in our policy building mechanisms. And we don't think that it is directly voting. We don't think that it is full agreement from all stakeholders. It comes down to the question, where can we meet at the bare minimum? And if your preferred option is not the one that will be the outcome, to move the whole concept towards consensus, what will be your bare minimum as a compromise? What can you live with so that everybody can win? In that concept, context, I know that our ICANN board members are very familiar with that concept too. And there was a question how we could help towards the ICANN board. So I'm again encouraging our board members and to yet the future board members who are very much involved in these processes as well to bring that necessary understanding maybe to make it more a concept to focus on. And the other thing, so, and I want to ask again, there I heard there has been a call for the entire community to focus on the compromise aspect of the current issue, what we can live with, where we can meet. I think that's the help we can ask from the ICANN board as well to repeat that message so we can all move towards an agreement. Thank you.
Thank you, Phyllis. Very important. Izumi?
I wasn't sure if ICANN board wanted to respond to Phyllis's question, or am I, can I just make my comment first? Okay. So Izumi Okutani, this time with the hat of ASO representative from the CCWG. And I completely understand and, you know, agree with the point that Phyllis has commented, coming from the same community, obviously. At the same time, I'm pretty optimistic about how things are going within the CCWG now, that I'm seeing that the chairs are encouraging to the members to clarify what is the absolute minimum and what is your preference. And so this might be something more close to our idea of, you know, rough consensus, not seeking for the perfect solution, as Anurani has expressed at the meeting the other day. And this might be something that we, as the ASO representatives in the CCWG, may be able to reiterate and, again, share with the rest of the CCWG members. So just sharing observation from my side.
Thank you, Izumi.
Thanks. George Sadowski. I've been following the CCWG now and interacting with it for about 3 months and 3,000 messages. And one of the things that that frustrates me a little bit is that the process is chartered and fairly well controlled in terms of the way in which the initial outlines of the proposals have been developing. And there hasn't been, for example, any significant community-wide development, community-wide discussion of such as a public forum, which would allow other people other than the central group that have been guiding the process to express their opinions. And so I'd like to ask if any of the NRO folks would like to talk about the proposal from their point of view. What are the attitudes toward it? How do you see closure coming, et cetera?
Right, I could do that. You might have seen the statement that the NRO has issued a couple of weeks ago, basically saying, look, people, we see this all with interest. We will rely on contractual arrangements for enforceability and accountability. Much of what is being talked about within the CCWG, we have fairly well under control within the RIR's worlds.
However, we look at various mechanisms that are being discussed, and we had a meeting yesterday also with the CCW chairs and sort of talked about this a bit. We see ICANN being a designator-run organization. We would like, in all of our doings, as little change as possible, so we would actually encourage any thoughts along those lines in keeping the current structure as much as possible multiple designators. However, having said that, we are fairly flexible. Our main priority is to get this thing done. As long as it works for us, and it will work for us. We are a little bit concerned about new arrangements around sole membership or sole designators, because we feel that the organization around the sole new entity will require implementation details that have not been talked about too much, or maybe I haven't heard them yet. So that's a bit of a concern on our side. Otherwise, I think that's mainly what we would have to say to that. Away.
Yeah, actually, we participated in CCWG in Los Angeles, also here also. And as you say, I think the CCWG, from my personal observation, there's a certain of the issue is a remain. I think in the CCWG, I didn't see very clear mechanism what called this consensus. You know, because maybe because I was came from APNIC, we know what is consensus mean. You know, every time we go to the policy in the member meeting, we ask the people show hand and to see what is the consensus or abstain or against. But in the CCWG, I didn't see this mechanism there. It's sometimes the consensus just based on, I don't know who decide his consensus is. I think these are one problem. The second problem I saw, right now they're still in the stage of the conceptual, didn't go to the implementation stage. Let me take one example. When they're talking about remove a single board member, I'm not against that. But I think the Izumino, I talked to the CCWG people, say, in Taiwan, we are revoking system. 50 years, never work. Because, and I think I'm Peter, you know that, the board have a 3-year term only. You remove a single board member. Once you appoint it, at least you need to allow him 6 or 1 month, or 1 year to perform before you say, I initiate revoking, right? And then you need to do the defenses. You know, if I was to be removed, can I defense? You need to give them 6 months, sometime, to defense. And then you need to go to the final decisions. It might be when that happens, his turn is almost end. So what is the purpose to go through? You know, when you're thinking about a conceptual, like removing a single board member, you have to think about the whole process. At this moment, they didn't go through the whole process. They just stuck in the conceptual. To be honest, this is really worrying me. Because if you finish this one, go to the implementation, it will take a very long time to do it.
Thank you, Hawaii. And I think that's the implementation issue is something that I was talking about. We don't know how things will look like. Folks, I have to apologize. We are overrunning a little bit, so maybe if you can keep it relatively tiny, yeah. Bill, and then we would have to wrap up.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the ICANN accountability measures of interest to the numbers community are clearly and completely defined within the SLA. I think that the accountability measures of interest to the names community are being discussed within the CCWG. I think it's an extraordinarily bad idea for our community to meddle in the CCWG too much for two reasons. Number one, because it would perhaps encourage people from the names community to meddle in our business, and they are much larger than us, and I'd rather we not poke that bear with a stick. Number two, I'm very worried that it will promote the misconception that there is an interdependency between numbers and names, and that numbers is somehow affected by what happens in CCWG. And we definitely don't want people to come away with that impression. We have three non-interdependent functions, and we want to make sure that people continue to perceive them that way.
Thank you, Bill. Ray, closing words?
Yes. In addition to what Bill just said, don't forget that there are accountability measures built into the ASL MOU and into the exchange of letters that exist between ICANN and the NRO. So there are plenty of accountability things in place already. So I just wanted to add those documents to your discussion.
Thank you, Ray. My apologies for bad time control. You're back to Chairman Steve.
Thank you all. It's been very pleasurable. Appreciate meeting with you guys. And as I said at the beginning, we expect to increase the level of engagement and visibility. So thank you, and keep it up.
Thank you, Chris.